Okay, so Irvin Dafka.
Actually, today we're going to focus on the sugya on Daf Ches, really starts from before on Daf Zayin, and then we'll make our way to Daf Ches. The Gemara on Daf Zayin, towards the bottom, the Gemara that we mentioned last week started from the two dots. Rabbi Yosef had said over from Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. This is an important point for the discussion afterwards. That he, the first thing that he said over from Rabbi Yehuda, his Rebbe B'Shem Rav, who was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Yehuda, that even though we had a machlekes before, if you have a movi mufulish, it's open on both sides, with the rishus rabbim on either side. That was a machlekes before what the halach is. That was the source of the brayse over here on the avov. The Tanakhama says two sided rishus rabbim. The way you're matter then is that you need to choose a Pesach on one side and a Lechi or a Kohar on the other side. Chananya had said over that Beis Hillel Shita is that you need a Delos, a door. Suas HaPesach is not enough. So there's a Machlekes over here whether you need a door, a Delos, or a Suas HaPesach on one side to that the Lechi and the Kohar on the other side should have. That was what the Brayse itself talked about. And Rabbi Yosef had commented on that machlokes is only when you have a rishus rabbim on both sides. However, if there's a bika, which is a karmelis on one side, then everyone agrees that it's not necessary to have a delos. Rishus Pesach is enough. That was the first member that he said. Now he continues. The Gemara is four lines from the bottom. And he finished off what he was coming to say with his second thing. You see, on Daf Zayin. Daf Zayin Omer Aleph. Zayin Omer Aleph. Umasayim bo Mishmei Rabbi Yehuda. And he finished off what he wanted to say with his second point, B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda. And this, he didn't say over this that it was necessarily B'Shem Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda said this B'Shem Rav. Just Messiah, but Mishmei Rabbi Yehuda. And the halacha that he mentions over here is as follows. If the Movi, it ends off into a Rechava. Rashi explains Rechava is some kind of backyard, which the Chotzer that we refer to is referring to the area which is in front of the houses, and that's a place where Hishtamshus is used. That's when people do their things there. The back, the rechava in the back is not used nearly as much. And we'll see Rashi says, therefore Rashi has an important point in this sugya. So this mavi is open into rechava. The word kolal rechava is important because in the sugya, kolal means is that the mavi itself goes straight into the rechava. Right? That's what we call poros bimilui. Right? There's nothing on the sides of the Mavi to act as some kind of doorway. The Mavi goes straight into the Rechava. And the Rechava itself, we'll see, is wider. And on that he says, the halacha is, Ein tzorach klum. Nothing is necessary on this side of the Mavi. Right? The Mavi on one side is open to Rishus Rabbim, and on the other side, it opens, goes directly into this Rechava, which is the backyard of houses. And then he says, Ein Tzorach Klum. I should explain, Ein Tzorach Klum means on that side. We deal that as a Mavi Sosum, right? The din of a Mavi Sosum is, that's the halacha that you own on the side which is open to the Rishus Rabbim, needs lechi or a kaira. That's all you need. In this situation, this back end, which is opening into the rechava, ein sor chum. Now that's what the Gemara itself says. Now Rashi over here points out, which is very important for the entire sugya, that the case actually is that the back end of this rechava is not closed. The back end of the rechava actually opens into a reshus haravim. This is what Rashi explains. If you see, that's the Rashi over here. Divrei Hamasla ein tzorach klum. Rashi goes into a long discussion. You see, it's a long Rashi over here. And Rashi and all the Rishonim agree to that. And the truth is that you see that from the Gemara itself. We'll see how the Gemara is using this memra, that it's clear that even though the Gemara doesn't explicitly mention that the Rechava is open to the Rishus Rabbim, however, in the Gemara, it's clear that the Gemara is assuming that. And Rashi explains to us why does the Gemara have the right to assume that? If you look in the Rashi, in the second line of the Rashi, Rashi says, "Val kochach b'denifitz onami rechava kineged pirtzas hamovoi b'koysel shekinegdei." If you look in the picture over here in the Rashi, you see the picture in the Rashi. You see on the right side there's the Rishus Rabbim over here, and in between the mavoi and the Rishus Rabbim is the rechava that we're talking about, this backyard. Now in the picture over here, see that there is an opening between the rechava and the Rishus Rabbim. Right, this is not mentioned clearly in the Gemara, and this is what Rashi is making a point to let us know that this is the case, that there's an opening over here between the Rechava and the Rishus Rabbim. This is what Rashi is saying. Rashi says, and we're forced to say that even though it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but that's something which we have to assume, that the case is talking about that the Rechava is open into the Rishus Rabbim. And that's really the point of the memra, because now that it's open, so one might be able to view the mavoi itself as open from both sides. On the side on the left, it's open to Rishus Rabbim. If you follow it through the rechava, then it would have an opening on the second side of the Rishus Rabbim, and therefore there would have been room to deal with this as a mavoi mefulish and to require the requirements of a mavoi mefulish, which would mean Matzuras HaPesach. So on that, Rashi says that this is what we're talking about, and the memra of that Rabbi Yosef is saying is B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, actually is a continuation, right, of the first thing that he said. That means that the sugi that we're talking about, we're discussing the din of Mavim Foolish. We start off by saying that if it's open to both sides in the Shus Rabbim, there's a machlokes what the halach is. There's a man, the Omer, that says you need a delis. However, if it's open to a bika mikan, if you have a bika on one side, then everyone agrees that you don't need the delis. And now he's continuing and he's saying that in such a case over here, this would not be considered a mavi mefush. And even though it's open after the rechava into the Rishus Rabbim, ain't so chum, that's what he's coming. He's coming to say that such a thing, we're discussing the dinim of a mavim foolish, and he's saying that this such a case is not a mavim foolish, even though it's eventually open, goes into the rechava, which opens into the Rishus Rabbim. Ain't so chum, this has the din of a mavim sosum. That's what Rashi means when Rashi says, v'amufuloshen dele'el koi. It's going back on the discussion, which we're talking about, of a mavim foolish, and this case over here is talking about that discussion. And that's why, even though it's not mentioned clearly that that's the case, but that's the assumption over here that the Gemara takes on, and the Gemara rightfully takes on the fact that this Rechava is open, and that's how it has to do with the previous discussion of a Mavi Ben Foolish. The Chiddush is, he's come to say that even though it eventually opens into the Rishus Rabbim, we don't consider it as a Mavi Ben Foolish, we look at it as a Mavi Sosam, and that's what it means, Ein Tzorach Klum. Now, to prove this point, that it has to be speaking that it's open, see, you know, the Gemara doesn't mention this. Right? Therefore, Rashi has to go and to explain that why are we assuming that? Or the Gemara, we'll see, is assuming that. And this is what Rashi continues in doing. Rashi says over here, because otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda is not telling us anything. There's no chiddush at all. Because if were it to be closed, right? So with this rechava to be closed on the right side, the Rishus Rabbim, then what could possibly be the reason why one might think that you can't carry in the movim? Now, Rashi starts mentioning a point which is going to come up in a Gemara, which we have to point out right now. That we know that there's a din, aside from what we're discussing now, at the beginning of the perek, which is called Tikkun Mavi. Tikkun Mavi, fixing up a Mavi, is with a lechi, a kohar, to a pesach. This is one halacha. There's an additional halacha aside from that, which is a din of shetufim mevois. There's a din of eruv v'chatzeres and shetufim mevois. We'll just mention in short a little bit what this din is. Let's start from the din of eruv v'chatzeres, which means is that if you have a chatzer, we know there are a number of houses which open into the chatzer itself. So the halacha is that one can't carry from the bayis into the chatzer, and the chatzer into the bayis, even though the chatzer is properly closed in. There's an additional halacha over here, that being that the chatzer is a joint area and the batim is a private area. So this is what we need to make an eruv chatzeres. Eruv chatzeres is that we collect some pass, we put into one of the houses. And by doing that, the idea is that we will view as everyone as belonging to that one house. And now we don't see it as a house being a singular area and the chatzah being a mokim haravim. It's all, they both belong just to one. That's the direction of the eruv chatzeres. And this, like we're saying, is after your mechitzas are okay. There's another halacha that we have to make an eruv in order to be matir tiltum. Similarly, there's such a din of shetufim mevois. A mavoi, then a number of chatzeres which empty into it, and the bnei chatzer use the mavoi. The chatzeres are separate chatzeres. The mavoi is a joint area, and there's a halacha from shetufim mevois, which also the idea is to join it. Now, this halacha presents itself in different areas, different ways. But the din is that if I have an area which is opened into, it's called porus the mokum ha'osulav, it's open to a place which you can't carry one from one to the next, the halacha is that asers, one place will aser on the other place that you can't even carry in that area itself. And the way to take care of that is by making an Erev, or by separating the two places by making a proper Delis. The Mishnais later talk about if you have two Chatzeres, right? In Perek Chaloin, later Prokim talk about if you have two Chatzeres which open into each other, so like I mentioned before, Chatzer itself has to make its Eruv Chatzeres, but what effect does one have on the other? So the Mishnah over there says, is that if the two chatzeres are open to each other, so if one would make a eruv chatzeres without having a pesach, a proper pesach between the two, so this other chaser would answer on the other one. Simply, the reason for that is because we look at being that it's porutz, it means that there's no delis, there's no mechitza between the two, so we would view this as being part of that chatzer, and therefore the entire chatzer wasn't involved in the eruv. So, in this case, the Mishnah says they have to be ma'arvin echa, they have to be ma'arvin all together. If they have a pesach between them, so pesach would separate them, and they're not related one to another, and then each one can make its own separate eruv. But this is the idea that one Rishus could answer on the second Rishus unless they're separated with a proper Pesach. Now, we'll see that in general, even if you have a Pesach, but if one Rishus uses the area, is going in and out, like in a situation of a chotzer with a mavi, that the bnei chotzer use the mavi to get out. So even if you have a proper Pesach over there, it's not enough. You'll need to make an eruv. That's the only way to be matered. Whereas between two chatzeres, if they have a different way out, then if you have a Pesach over there, then and that's fine. That'll be enough to separate them, since they're not intrinsically involved with each other because they have different ways to get out. So there's a second halacha over here which is very much involved in this sugi over here, which is a halacha of poros l'mokam ha'asolo, that if one rishus is poros, is open without a proper Pesach to a second area, that area will answer on this place and you can't carry over here, even if this area, this movi, has a proper lechi and kair. That's not the issue, but it's a second issue over here. And this is what Rashi right away over here is talking about. Improving, going back to what we mentioned before, improving our case over here. The Gemara only talks about movi, which is kol rechava. Right? There's no mention in the Gemara itself that the rechava is open in its back end to the Rishus Ram. Rashi is saying that no, that has to be the case, because if not, if the case was, as the Gemara would seem to imply, that the Rechava ends and just opens into the Rechava, and Rashi says there's no Chiddush at all. It's simple. There's no reason why the Mavi should be Asur. Now Rashi starts speaking, and Rashi says, well, don't tell me that the issue might have been that the Rechava should Asur on the Mavi, with this second halacha we just started talking about now, that the Mavi opens into the Rechava, like a chotzer asters on a mavi. And this Rashi says over here, for whole lekel amemad mishum ne Rechava itzrich la'ashminon, that maybe there is a chiddush even without making such a case that it's porous to the Rishus Rabbim over there. Maybe the chiddush over here is that the bnei Rechava don't aster on the bnei mavi, va'filu la'irvu imahen, and that's the chiddush. Even without an eruv, they don't aster. And that Rashi says, to honami pshita. This is simple. This is important. This is the Shita's Rashi. Over here, other Rishonim argue, Rashi says. Rashi says that no, that that's simple. So that can't be what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to tell us. The Rechava le'bay le'eruve, a Rechava never needs to make an eruv. If a Rechava, this backyard area, opens and something else, It never is necessary to make an eruv between the Rechava and the place that it opens. The stam Rechava ain't but the yurin lotzeis v'lovoi. That generally this backyard area doesn't have people that are living there, that are coming back and forth. Vein tashmisha todir, and that area is not used constantly. Similarly to what we're familiar with, the chotzer. Chotzer asks, chotzer needs to make an eruv when the chotzer is open to a second chotzer, or the chotzer is open to a mavi. However, Rechava, this backyard area, Rashi says, can't answer. Since it doesn't have the urine, since people are not really using that area, it wouldn't answer in the first place. So it wouldn't be necessary at all to make an eruv. And Rashi goes, he brings a raya from the Gemara later on to this point. Like we mentioned before, this is Shitas Rashi in the Inyan. Other Rishonim argue on Rashi, but this is how Rashi sets up the sugi over here, that Rechava never needs an Erev to matter it. Even though it's opened into the Mavi, the Rechava itself can't answer. Therefore, getting back to the point, so then what's the Chiddush? What's Rabbi Yehuda coming to say? If Mavi opens into Rechava, you could carry in the Mavi. Of course, why not? Rechava can't answer. Therefore, must be that there's another piece of the case over here. And that's his point, right? So that's what Rashi, again, is coming to prove. That must be that the case over here is that the Rechava, the back end of the Rechava is open to Rishus Ram. And the issue over here was that we might have viewed this Mavi as a Mavi Mefulish, since it has the Rishus Rabim on both sides. And that's the Chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say, that even though the Mavi, if you look through the Mavi, you're going to hit, you'll see Rishus Ram at that end over there. But we don't deal with this as a Mavi Mefulish. We looked at that end as sosum, and therefore all you need is Yilechi and Kaira on the side, which is directly open to the Rishus Rambam. Okay, this is how Rashi sets us off, right? It's very important to have this set up in the Gemara. This is what we're starting with over here. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, Umesayim of B'Shmei Rabbi Yehuda. Right? This second halacha, he said over B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to the first halacha, which he mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda said B'Shem Rav. This halacha, Rabbi Yosef said over only B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, and he didn't have any mention as far as where Rabbi Yehuda got it from. And that's the discussion of the Gemara, that where does this halacha originate from? Rabbi Yehuda, who's a Talmud of Rav and Talmud of Shmuel, could we assume that this halacha was also from a halacha from Rav, or we have reason to believe that this can't be from Rav? That's how the sugya is going to develop over here. So on that, Abai comes along and Abai says, "Omle Abai Rabbi Yosef, ho Rabbi Yehuda d'Shmuel." This second memra over here that Rabbi Yehuda says said over, we didn't have it, that it wasn't said over b'shem Rav. That he comes to say that this must be Shmuel, a different Rebbe of Rav, but it can't be Rav. Because we know of a Shitas Rav, Rav said something which is a contradiction to this. So even though we don't know that he said it of Shem Shmuel, but you have two choices. Rabbi Yehuda either said it of Shem Rav and Shem Shmuel. And we know that, we'll see in a minute, the Gemara is going to show that this can't agree with what Rav says. So therefore, this that Rabbi Yehuda said it must have been B'Shem Shmuel. The either Rav, Tash the Rav and Rav Batati. Because if this was said over in the name of Rav, we have two contradictions. On two points, there's going to be a contradiction to what Rav holds. Therefore, we have to assume that this memory was not said over B'Shem Rav. Now, what is this halacha that we know Rav said, which the Gemara feels right now is a contradiction to what we just mentioned? The following halacha. Rabbi Abba Bar Abba Omar Rav. Movoy shenifas b'mulu'i l'chotzer v'nifetzah chotzer k'negdai. Very similar case over here. Movoy. This case, instead of being a rechava, there's a chotzer there. And over here it says specifically v'nifetzah chotzer k'negdai. Over here, this piece of Gemara, it's very clear that the chotzer, the back end of the chotzer, opens to a rishus haram. So on that, Rav said, Halach is as follows. Chotzer muteris mava yosem. One may carry in the chotzer, but one may not carry in the mava. And on that, the Gemara says that were we to assume that these two cases are very similar. Right? The only difference between the two cases is that one, there's a rechav in between, and one, there's a chotzer in between. Now, the Gemara says like this, is that if that first memra, right, which Rabbi Yehuda said, talking about a rechava, was B'Shem Rav, then we're going to have a contradiction to this Rav. V'amai, levi kimova shekol rechava? That if that first memra was said over B'Shem Rav, that means the fact that eventually there's a Rishus Rav over there doesn't bother me, since the Rishus Rav doesn't come right after the mavoi. There's a separation between the Rishus Rav and the mavoi with the rechava. So in this case also, why doesn't the chotzer act as a separation? Therefore the Gemara is saying is therefore these two memories are a stira. Rav obviously argues with that, and that has to be B'Shem Shmuel. We're going to come back. Let's just continue the Gemara. So Amar Le'ano Yedano, Rabbi Yosef says the truth is I really don't know who Rabbi Yehuda said it from. As a matter of fact, I didn't, you know, this wasn't a regular memra which I heard over from Yehuda. Over the Hav Abdur Darusa, actually, this that I'm saying over is because I'm repeating a mindset that happened and Rabbi Yehuda happened with Paskin on it. Over the Hav Abdur Darusa, Mova Shekol Rechava Havah. This case was in this place called Dur Darusa. There was a Mova which ended into the Rechava. But also came to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Shaila came to Rabbi Yehuda, and he didn't require anything. He dealt with it as a Mavoi Sosom. V'ikasha mishmei Rav. So Rabbi Yosef says, listen, this is where I got the halacha from. He passed in the halacha, so I don't know where he got it from. V'ikasha mishmei Rav. And if you have a problem that it should be from the name of Rav, Tev Mishmei Shmuel, Le'kasha Midi, fine. You want to decide because of what you know Rav said, it's a contradiction to this, fine, I accept that, we'll assume that it was Mishmei de Shmuel. Right? Tevish and Shmuel v'lei kash v'lei midi. That's what the Gemara at this point says. Right? Now, let's go back a minute, because the Gemara is going to have a shaka v'taira. The Gemara is having a difference of a way of understanding Rav's din. So let's go back again. Rav's din that we brought down was talking about you have a movi, opens into a chotzer, and there's a Rosh Hashanah at the other end. And the Rav says that the halacha is that one cannot carry in the movi. The Gemara is assuming right now that what's the reason why you can't carry in the movi? Because we deal with the movi as a movi foolish. The fact that there's a Rosh Hashanah open on the other end of the chotzer, so the movi, you look straight through, you see the Rosh Hashanah over there, the Gemara is assuming that's why Rav answered. So that's why the Gemara is saying is that this is a contradiction to what we just said. B'shem Shmuel. Shmuel said the fact just because you have an eventual Rosh Hashanah opening at the other end is not going to make it mefulish, since the area that the Mavi opens directly into is not Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara says Kasha the Rav betarti on the first line over there. That there's 2 points over here which really are contradictory. And Rashi explains what the Gemara means with that. According to the Gemara's understanding right now, in the memory of Rav, we actually have a chotzer in between. And we mentioned before that a chotzer opening into another area, since a chotzer has the urim in it, so as long as it's porous, if there's not a proper pesach between the two areas, so the chotzer will aser on the movi area, if you didn't make an eruv between the two of them. And that could be a reason why the movi is also. The Gemara is assuming right now that the reason why the movi is also is because of the halacha that we started with, mefulish at Rosh Hashanah. That's why the movi is also. And the Rashi explains that the reason why the Gemara is assuming that is because the other possibility why it might be also is because the chotzer asers on it. Now, were that to be so, and it wouldn't be necessary to make that the chotzer be open to the Rosh Hashanah, that's irrelevant. Right? Why is it necessary to mention that? So that's why the Gemara is understanding that from the fact that Rav made the point that the case that he's dealing with is that the chotzer is open on the other end to the Rosh Hashanah, that seems to be an integral part of why the Mavi is also. So that's what brings the Gemara to the assumption that the reason why Rav says that the Mavi is Osir is because of Mefulish. And that's why the Gemara is saying that this Rav seems to be a contradiction to the memory of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that you have an eventual Rosh Hashanah opening is not a problem. Does not make it Mavi Mefulish. And this Rav over here says that it is Mavi Mefulish. Now, we could derive from over here that the only reason why it's Osir is only because of this issue of Mavi Mefulish. However, the Chotzer itself, and as were it to be closed off, then the Chotzer would not answer on the Mavi. Now, what's the reason for that? I mean, the first step definitely is because there's a Pesach. Now, is there a Pesach over here or not? Now, this brings us to another point over here, which is very important in the sugya. The Gemara later on mentions it, talks about it. There's a mission later on which talks about if you have a Mavi Gadol opening into Mavi Katan. But let's just step back one step before. Like we mentioned before, if we have two, I'm sorry, a Chatzeris, a Chatzer. If you have two Chatzeris which open into each other, so unless we have a proper Pesach between the two of them, they'll answer on each other, and it'll be required that they should be ma'arif, make an eruv together. They need to have a proper Pesach between the two of them. Now, a proper Pesach, we know from the beginning of the Masechta that something which is porous b'miluah, something which opens directly into an area, there's no doorposts at all, right? the walls open directly into that, does not have a din of a Pesach. It's not a Pesach. So therefore, if you have, let's say, two chatzeres, right, which open directly one to the other, so there's no Pesach over here, and they have to make an Erev together. Otherwise, they'll ask on each other, right? Just like any half a chatzer will ask on another half.
And with the Pesach, it doesn't require the Erev?
With the proper Pesach, what it does is the Pesach acts like a mechitza. It separates the two. I'm not part of you, not part of me. It's fine, so you can't ask it. The only reason why you'll ask it...
They can't carry between each other, but they don't ask
it. Right. Yeah, they definitely can't carry, but they don't ask it. And they only ask it as long as that we see that related to each other and they're not together. Right? Now, the Mishnah over there discusses a situation where you have a chotzer godel and a chotzer ktan, which means that if you have one wider chotzer and one narrow chotzer, so the narrow chotzer, it opens into the larger chotzer, it has no doorposts on either side. It's porus bimilua, the small one. The larger one, being that it's larger, so in order for it to meet up with the opening of the small one, it's going to have a partial wall on its opening. So, in this situation over here, what we have is that on one side it's a Pesach, and the other side it's not a Pesach. On one side it has the gifufidim miracles, right? Those are the side posts, and one side it doesn't. Now the Mishnah over there says that therefore the halacha is that the chotzer godel is mutter. If it makes its erev amongst itself, it's good because. Because dealing with it, it has a Pesach. It's separated from the Mavi Cotton. The Mavi Cotton doesn't have a Pesach toward the Mavi Godel, and therefore, viewing the Mavi Cotton, it's porutz, it's open into the Mavi Godel, and the Mavi Cotton will be awesome. That's what the Mishnah says. Now this case over here, when you have such a case, and on one side there's a Pesach, on one side there's not, there is no Pesach, the Gemara calls that Nira mibachutz and Shava mibifnim. This is what the usage that our Gemara calls that, which Rashi later on makes a mention that there's actually machlekes amiroim on that test. I will get to it. Concerning a lechi, if you have a lechi which is set up in such a way that from one side you can tell that there's a lechi there, from one side you can't tell there's a lechi over there. Nire mibachutz shavu mibifnim. If the lechi is set up that it's noticeable from the outside, but not from the inside. What's the halacha? And the issue over here basically is the fact that it appears to be a lechi or a Pesach on one side gives it a din Pesach concerning both sides. That's enough to give it a chashivas of a Pesach for both sides. Or no, that being that it's only noticeable on one side, so only on that side has din of a Pesach and not on this side. As we mentioned, the Mishnah itself, at first glance, seems to be pretty clear that it's split, that it's only a Pesach for the side which has the Gifufi, which has those doorposts, and the other side not. However, in the Gemara itself, that is a way to learn that Mishnah, that the Mishnah wouldn't be a riot to this, and that's why how there could be a discussion about this, because there's a way to push away the proof of the Mishnah. But there is an issue over here, that when you have such a situation, let's talk concerning us, when you have a Pesach, we call it a one-sided Pesach, what's the halacha? Is the din that's only considered a Pesach on one side, or we could use that as a Pesach for both sides? Now, coming back to our halacha over here, the din of Rav, we're talking about where the Mavi opens directly into Rechava, the Rechava widens a little bit, and then opens into the Rishos Rav. This situation is very similar to the Chotzer, to the din of the Chotzer Godel, the Chotzer Kotten. from the Movi side over here, it's Poros B'miluah, so that side doesn't have the proper Pesach. However, from the Rechava side, since it opens over there, that side it does have the requirements for a Pesach. And we'll see in the Gemara in a minute over here that at this point, coming back to the memory of Rav tells us that if you have the Movi, one side is Rishus Rabim, other side the Movi opens directly into a Chatzah, which eventually opens into another Rishus Rabim, it's Aser. He feels that it's necessary to talk about the fact that it's open into the Rishus Rabim, and that's in order to Aser. It would imply the only reason why it should be Aser is because it's considered a Movi Mefulish. That's why it's Aser. Were it to be closed over there, then you could carry the Movi, even though there is a Chatzah over here. Why is the Chatzah not Asering? The Gemara is assuming that Rav is talking about an awful situation, even if he didn't make an Erev between the Chatzah and the Movi. Why is there no problem? The answer to that, when it's seen in the Gemara, is because Rav is assuming, is holding at this point, that we have the Chashivas of a Pesach. Even though it's a one-sided Pesach, but he holds that Nirim Machotzah Shabim Mifnim, this one-sided Pesach, it's considered a Pesach, a full Pesach for both sides, and therefore we have a Pesach between the two things. That's on Rav's side of things. As far as Rav's side of things is that Mitzarechad, as far as the issue of a Movim of Foolish, Rav seems to be saying that even though you have a Rishus between the Rishus Rabim and the Movim, this Chotzer, so the Rishus Rabim is not directly after the Movi, nevertheless, as long as it eventually opens into Rishus Rabim, it's considered a Movi Mefulish, and that's what he done. That's on that point. And on the other point, as far as the Chotzer being the reason for the Isser, we're taking out that the Chotzer can answer, and that's because he holds that we view this as a proper Pesach between the Movi and the Chotzer. That first member that we mentioned from Yehuda about Rechava, so that's very clear as far as the issue of Movi Mefulish. He says it's Mutter. So obviously he's arguing on that point. And the Gemara which says that it's Kasher B'Tarti, and the second point also, because we could be Medayik, that he's talking about a Rechava, like Rashi explained, Dafka Rechava, which never has the issue to require an Erev, because it doesn't have the Urim. And that's why the case is that it's Mutter. But were we to be dealing with a chotzer over there, he would have held that it's aser. The chotzer would aser, even though he holds that it wouldn't be aser because of a mavim foolish. But you have a second issue over here that it would have asered because the chotzer would aser, because he holds that this is not considered a proper one with Pesach doesn't help for both sides. So this is what the Gemara meant when the Gemara originally said that this memra had to have been said. The memra of Yehuda said concerning Rechava had to be B'shem Shmuel, not Rav, because we know in the two points which we could take out of this memra that Rav differs on both points. That's what the Mora means. The Mora says, Kash de Rav Betarti.
Just a question. The fact that, I'm sorry, the fact that we found out that it was actually a real case, the Rechava was not just a theoretical case, but it was actually a real case, does that, Did we say that it wasn't really the Rechava, it could have been a Chatzar as well? I mean, could you then say that it didn't necessarily have to be a Rechava?
Well, Rashi does mention that if we had a Rechava which has the properties, I'm sorry, if we had a Chatzar which has the properties of a Rechava, then it would be the same. Rashi says that were it to be a Chatzar She'irvu, then it would have the same halacha, right? A Rechava, Rashi says, doesn't even need the Erev because it has no Diurim, right? That we don't see that people are living there and using that area. So that the Rechava will never answer even if it does make an Erev. A comparable case to that would be if it's a Chotzer that made an Erev, right? Okay, so this is how the Gemara starts, right? So at this point in the Gemara's understanding Rav's memra in this way, that Rav is, the reason why Rav asks over here is because he considered a mavim foolish. So, in that point, it's contradictory to what Rabbi Yosi said, b'shem Shmuel. And the second point also is also a contradiction. And by that, the Gemara says, fine, we have no problems with saying, therefore, that the member wasn't B'Shem Ravi, it was B'Shem Shmuel. Right? It wasn't said over B'Shem anyone specifically. So if it doesn't work out B'Shem one, we'll accept it as someone else. This is the first part of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara is going to change over the understanding of this member of Rav, what the basis of this halacha is. We're understanding member of Rav, which says that a mavi, which often opens into a chotzer, which is nifris, on the other side, the halacha is that it's also. We have an understanding to that. The reason why it's also is because of the din of mavi mefulish. According to that understanding, that's how the Gemara is going right now. But the Gemara right now is going to bring a source that's not the proper understanding of the member of Rav. And that's what the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Hashtu the omale of Sheshes of Shmuel bar Abba, ba'amel of Yosef bar Abba, asbroloch." That later on we got a little more information concerning Rav's din. That he said over that I was makabel directly from Rav, a stipulation in Rav's din over here. Kan she irvu, kan she loy irvu. That Rav's memra, when he said over this case, and if he said it's osur, there's a difference whether the chotzer made an eruv with the mavi or not. This that it's osur is only because the chotzer didn't make an eruv together with the mavi. But if there would have been an eruv between the chotzer and the mavi, then it would be mutter. So once he brings us this piece of information, now things change in the understanding of Rav. Because if the reason why Rav asked, like we assumed until now, that's a mavi mefulish, so that's not going to help us. Fine, good, you have the eruv. That just explains why the chotzer can't ask around the mavi. But it's a mavi mefulish still. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that from what he brings over, we see over here a different understanding in Rav. That the reason why Rav asked is really only because the chotzer asked on the mavi, not because it was mefulish. The chotzer asked on the mavi because that there was no eruv. And by making the Erev, then it'll be matterit. Now, once we say that, so the Gemara says, if so, the Rav Adarav namalei kasha. Kan she'ivu b'nei chotzim b'nei mavi kan shle'ivu. Once we know this, we have this piece of information, that the whole din of Rav changes over. And now both points really switch in Rav's memra. So once we say that, so now we can come back and we could say that this original memra of Rechava could be Rav. Because it's not contradictory anymore. We had a wrong understanding in the din of Rav. Rav had said that the mavi is osur. We assumed, and we'll see what happened, what changed, what was the reason for our assumption, and what changed now. Why are we not concerned about that? But the Gemara had a basis originally to think that Rav asked because it's a mavi mefulish, and that the Gemara says a line from Rav himself. Someone was there by the shear of Rav, and Rav had said over that there's a difference in this din that he answered. Irva will make a difference. So that changes the whole picture, that obviously Rav meant to answer only because of the chotzer answers, not because it's mefulish. Now the Gemara over here is a little misleading, because the Gemara says, the Rav namalei kasha. The Gemara is saying that once we understand the member of Rav, so now originally this that we thought that if that member of Yehuda was from Rav, there will be a contradiction between Rav. The Gemara says, no, that's not a contradiction anymore. Kan she'irvu b'nei chotzer, kan she'lo irvu. That the difference of the two members are whether irvu and la'irvu. Like it would sound like he's saying that this member of Rechava really could be B'Shem Rav, and that's talking about Irvu. And this Memra by Chotz, which is Osir, is Lo Irvu. Now, Rashi told us before that Rechava doesn't need. So what's the Gemara saying over Irvu? So this actually is one of the kashas that Tosis has on Rashi, this that Rashi says that Rechava doesn't need. And Tosfos Yovi has a different mahalach over here. But as far as Rashi is concerned, the Rishonim speak out that this Gemara is taka lav dafka, when the Gemara says irvu la irvu, because mavi doesn't, Rechava doesn't really need irvu. The Gemara is just using the same nusach the Gemara said before in Rav. So the Gemara now follows the back using the same nusach. But in truth, we shouldn't be misled by the Loshna Gemara over here that in Nachnami. It's not true. According to Rashi, learns the Gemara that Gemara says here too, kan b'she'irvu, the irvu really is lavdaf. In this specific situation, we're talking about Rechava, you don't need the irvu. That's equivalent by Rechava. Even a loy irvu is equivalent to an irvu. Right. The whole Lashon is according to Rashi, is going to be Lav Dafka. Right. See, the truth is, yeah, you've made a good point. I mean, regardless, we're talking about Rechava, the Gemara uses the Nusach of Chotzer. Right. Right. So, Lachar, regardless how you learn the Gemara is using a borrowed term. Okay. So this is where the Gemara turns things around. Now, let's just mention one point over here. That why did the Gemara originally feel that the Memra of Rav had the reason why it was Osir was because of the Pilush? And how is the Gemara going to deal with that now? Originally, we said that the reason why the Gemara originally assumed that the reason why it's Osir was because it's Mefulish, and not like the Gemara is saying now that the Chotzer is what's causing the Isser, is because if the Chotzer was causing the Isser, then why is it necessary to talk about the fact that it's Mefulish to the Rishus HaRabim? So that's why the Gemara originally assumed, well, that must be an integral part in what's causing the Isser. Now that was why the Gemara originally assumed that. So there's basis to the assumption. But now that the Gemara, we have information that Rav, that's not what Rav said, so now we have to know why. So why did Rav mention that? Why did he mention that at all? So the truth is that this we'll see in this next piece of Gemara, after the two dats, the Gemara discusses what's the chiddush of Rav. And basically, we'll just mention now in short. I see the time really moving over here. So I'll just mention very in short. If you remember the Gemara over here says that what Rav is being mechadish is that even though it's open and the Rabbim walk by, the Rabbim are not mevatel the mechitzas of the Chotzer. Rav's din over here, he says two things. He says that the mov is osur and the Chotzer is mutter. The Chotzer is mutter because the Chotzer has mechitzes. Now, there is definitely a svara, there are tanoim even that hold such a thing, that osi rabim umevatel mechitza. If the rabim walk by through mechitzes, that could be a bittel, that could nullify the power of the mechitzes, and that iri will lose the benefit that it has from the mechitzes. And that rab is coming to say, his chiddush over here is, as far as the Chotzer is concerned, that's why he wants to mention that the Chotzer is open. Chotzer is open to the Rishus HaRabim. Nevertheless, the Chotzer itself is mutter, and even though there's a Rabim which is walking by, it's not Mavatal Mechitzis of the Chotzer, and therefore it's mutter. But according to what we're saying now, the Isser of the Movi itself is taka not related at all to this that it's open on that side. Right? So that's what's happening in the Gemara. Right? How do you understand why Rav is mentioning the fact that it's Nifrats into the Rishus HaRabim? Is that part of the Isser? That's what the Gemara originally understood, and that's why the Gemara saw, according to Rav. Rav is saying that a Mavi, which is eventually opening into the Rishus HaRabim, is considered a Mavi Mefulish. That was the basis of the Gemara, because otherwise, why is he mentioning the fact that it's Nifrats? Mozbika, that's the reason why it's also. After the Gemara here says that's not what Rav meant. So how do you understand why is he mentioning that? That's the Gemara over here mentions that it's for a totally different point. He's mentioning two things. Mavi Oster, Chotzer Mutter. The Isser for the Mavi itself has nothing to do with the fact that it's open. That's because the Chotzer is answering because we don't have a proper Pesach over here. The reason why he mentioned that is for a second point, that the Chotzer is Mutter, even though the Rabbim is walking through over here. Nevertheless, the Mechitzes are intact, and therefore the Mokom of the Chotzer is Mutter. Okay. I don't want to go over time, so we'll have to be satisfied with what we just discussed now. Okay, is that okay? All right. Okay. This is okay. All right.